Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We explore many important areas and aspects of life, including business, sales, mental, relationships, spiritual, physical, disabilities, and many more interesting topics. Our broadcast team so far consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructors and authors. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor, also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. In March of this year, I spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now. And in that time, I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, which makes me sound like a spider. And I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". Sometimes I lie and say 5'2". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite those physical challenges, I'm very well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication, and we're the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today is Howard Partridge, and I'm very excited to have Howard on the show. He works alongside with Tom Ziegler and the Ziegler Organization, and as anyone who knows me knows, I am a huge, ginormous fan of Zig Ziegler. Howard grew up on welfare in Mobile, Alabama, and he left home at the age of 18. He arrived in Houston, Texas on a Greyhound bus with only 25 cents in his pocket. At age 23, he started his first business out of the trunk of his car and built it up to a multi-million dollar enterprise. He has since owned 8 small businesses altogether and owns 3 companies at the time of the printing of his book. He is the president of Phenomenal Products, Inc., which helps small business owners stop being slaves to their business by transforming it into a predictable, profitable turnkey operation. For the past 15 years, Howard has helped small business owners around the world dramatically improve their business. He currently has coaching clients worldwide and is the exclusive business coach for the Zig Ziglar Corporation and a certified coach with the John Maxwell team. Howard has led hundreds of seminars, webinars, workshops, and holds his own live multi-day events, which have featured some of America's top business trainers, including Michael Gerber, Bob Berg, Dr. Joseph Michelli, and the amazing legend, Zig Ziglar. Welcome to the show today, Howard.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
I am excited. I read your book last month or maybe a couple of months ago, and I really, really enjoyed that book and the premise behind it, that business owners often are working tremendously long hours, small business owners, maybe even sole proprietors, and you really help them to develop turnkey systems so that they can regain their life back and at the same time grow their business, which is a pretty unique combination.
Well, it is, and what we found is that people don't remember why they went into business for themselves to start with. They went into business because they had a dream, you know, maybe to make a little bit more money, but really to chart their own course, to be their own boss, to have a little more free time. And as undercapitalized business owners, understand it really doesn't happen that way. What happens is you, the brutal reality is you end up feeling like a slave to the business, very little family time. Your day is consumed putting out brush fires, and I know that because I've lived that. And most small business owners that I have met, they fit that description. And so we help them to begin to build the business, work on their business, work on their lives, so that they can have a little bit more freedom and make a little bit more money, and finally realize the dream of why they went into business to start with.
Exactly. And when you tell them that they can spend less time and earn more money, you must see the synapses in their brain starting to fry, because, as he said, this is what they wanted to do, but a lot of times they're not able to do, and yet you're able to coach them through some things that really leverage their time and earn them more money, which is incredible. Now, Howard, you're associated with the Zig Ziglar Corporation, and you lead seminars with Tom Ziglar, and Zig has participated in some of your multi-day events. How did that happen, and tell us about what an amazing blessing that is to work with an organization like that.
Well, it was a result of me simply practicing what I teach about reaching out and building relationships. But to rewind a little bit, a funny part of that story that I shared in the book was that some years ago, I guess about 17 years ago or so, I was part of a little local group, networking group, and every week I would go there, and these guys, some of them had a really bad attitude. They complained about the economy. They complained about customers wouldn't pay their price, and they weren't dressed for success. And I would come in, I had my sport coat on, wearing a tie and a positive attitude, carrying a briefcase. And they literally laughed at me, and they said, "Who do you think you are, Zig Ziglar or somebody?" Well, I didn't know Zig at that time. You know, I knew of him, but I didn't know him. And every time I went to Dallas, I told myself I'm going to call the Ziglar organization and see if I can get an interview with him, because after all, I'm speaking and teaching and helping small business owners. And I never did. And then finally one day I just put my foot down. I made the call, and I called on the Ziglar organization. And long story short is Tom and I just really hit it off. We contracted Zig to come and speak on my stage. And not only did Zig come, but Tom came and Julie came. And then I began to really get to know the whole family and the organization. I did a number of video webcasts. And for their Success 2.0 program, and Tom came and spoke at my conferences. And last year, they had a big meeting with a consulting firm and determined that they needed to be in the small business coaching arena, that was their best way forward now that Zig is retired. And they went through this long 14-point criteria of the person that ought to lead that for them, and they got to the end of the 14 points of criteria, and myself and one other guy were the only two people on the list out of all the people that they know. And so since then, and of course I was the one that was chosen, and since then Tom and I have been traveling around the world doing full-day workshops, teaching small business owners how to stop being a slave to their business, and teaching them some of the marketing strategies and organization strategies and systems that I've used to not only grow my companies, but also to help small business owners around the world to dramatically improve their businesses and revolutionize their lives.
And you are traveling extensively, because I follow Tom Ziglar on Facebook, and I'm getting tired just thinking and reading about his travel schedule. One day he's in this city and state, a few days later he's in another city and state, and he's always telling Howard Partridge and I, you know, leaving for such and such a place. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm tired just reading about the schedule, let alone putting it on. And as you, so you know, I love Zig. I went to the Born to Win workshop 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
Zig was active and fully engaged, and I got to sit beside him, behind him in the Redhead in church during service. I attended his Bible study group before service. I've seen him speak live about 9 times, and one of the biggest exciting things that ever happened that I'll still remember how I felt. I walked into the world's largest bookstore in Toronto. He was promoting his book Over the Top, and as I walked up, he said, "Hi, Tom Cunningham." And as you know, he meets hundreds of thousands, millions of people.
Wow.
And so to rhyme off my name as I'm walking up, oh my gosh, I will never forget that. So that's quite
Isn't
an experience.
That
yeah,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, he meets a lot of people.
Yeah, that's neat.
In your book, you write the word life, L period, I period, F period, E, in capital letters. Tell us what you mean about a phenomenal life. What do those letters mean as an acronym?
Well, what those letters mean is it's an acronym for living in freedom every day. And the premise of the book, Seven Secrets of a Phenomenal Life, is that we are born to be phenomenal. You mentioned Born to Win, and the whole premise of Born to Win is that you are designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness. And when one of my mentors spoke at one of my conferences, my company name is Phenomenal Products, and he said, you know, I'm sure Howard's products are phenomenal, but I'm here to tell you that you are a phenomenal product created by God to do phenomenal things in the world and to have a phenomenal life. And so when you think about the fact that no one can put you in prison. No one can imprison your mind or your heart without your permission. Those two areas belong to you and God alone. And no matter what our circumstances are, we can be free in our minds and in our hearts. And the seven areas that of life that are on the wheel of life that Zig has used so many times, what the book is all about is what are the secrets of living a phenomenal life in those seven areas. Many people believe that if you're going to be incredibly wealthy, if you're going to be successful financially, that you've got to sacrifice your family, you've got to sacrifice your morals. If you're going to build an incredible business, you're probably going to have to give up some of your health, give up your family relationships. And Zig says that a successful life is a balanced life, and that the idea is to begin to work on your life and have a phenomenal life in all those areas. After all, which one of those areas are we supposed to be mediocre in, right?
Mm.
And so that's the idea, is that can we really have it all? Can we really live a phenomenal life in all seven of those areas? And my answer is yes, but it doesn't happen by accident. It happens by understanding how to live, how to be. You know, Zig says be, do, and have. If you want to have a phenomenal life, you've got to do some phenomenal things. And what I mean by phenomenal things is things that make a difference in the world. Because if it's all about you and you're not making a difference out there in the world, first of all, you're not going to be happy. Secondly, you're not going to get the cooperation with other people that you need. But you must become a different person. So it's you won't consistently do inconsistently with how you see yourself, as Zig Ziglar has said many times. And so you must become a different person. You must know who you are. So when people ask me, you know, who do you think you are, Zig Ziglar or somebody? I say, well, I might not be Zig Ziglar, but I am Howard Partridge. I'm a phenomenal product, and I'm created to do phenomenal things that will make a difference in the world. And because of that, I can have a phenomenal life. Now, a phenomenal life doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. I had a best friend that I talked about in the book who had MS, and, you know, that was completely out of his control. I heard in the intro a little bit about your condition, but we've got to live out of not our condition, because we live in a fallen world. We live in conditions sometimes that aren't very phenomenal, but we can still have a phenomenal life because we're free in our minds and in our hearts. So my friend Ray Davis, who had MS, he laid in the bed with pain from head to toe. His entire body was all gnarled up. His hands were stuck in a gnarled up position. He couldn't even move them. The only thing that he could move on his entire body was his lips. And if you didn't know Ray very well, you couldn't understand his slurred speech. But I knew him, and I'd walked through that whole situation over those years with him. And when I came to his bedside, healthy, being able to walk around, being able to walk to my car, he wanted to know how my life was. In fact, the last time I saw him alive, we were in the hospital room. It was late at night, and a nurse had come into the room, and he wanted to pray for that nurse. And that's just the kind of person that he was. And so it doesn't matter what your condition is. It matters, like Zig says, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It matters how you respond to those circumstances, because the way that you respond to difficult things in life, is, instead of just reacting to them like most people do, is going to have an impact on you, and it's going to have an impact on others.
So true. And you said something a few times there that being a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor rang really, really, really true for me. You said free in our minds, and Napoleon Hill's one of his basic, probably his basic premise that's based upon all his writings, is that God gave us 100% control over only one thing, and that is our minds. We can choose to face these adversities positively. We can choose to let them defeat us, but it is our choice in our mind of how we choose to think and what we choose to do from those thoughts. And so that is a phenomenal thing as well. And then being of service to others. This is Napoleon Hill, I think the fourth of his 17 success principles, going the extra mile. A lot of people, when they think of going the extra mile, they just think of it as far as their job. Arrive early, arrive late, do more for the customer. But Napoleon Hill writes about going the extra mile as a form of being of service to others. If you help someone in your church, if you help a missionary, if you support World Vision, one of my favorites that helps kids in third world countries, this is going the extra mile. And God smiles and looks favorably on people who are doing that, and somehow their business life improves or they meet someone they need to meet. And so you're so true. If you're just focusing on yourself and your business and not being of service to others outside of your business, life is going to be somewhat shallow for you, and you may not have the amazing blessing and smile of God upon your life as much as if you were out there actively making people's lives better.
Absolutely. And when you think of where that term actually came from, go the extra mile, it came from the Roman days when a Roman soldier could grab any citizen and require that citizen to carry their gear, which was very heavy, for 1 mile. But you were not required by law to carry that gear more than 1 mile. So the idea was, Jesus said, when someone asks you to go a mile, you go two. Now, what happens when you go 2 miles? Well, several things. One is God smiles, as you said. Number two, it does something to this other person where they say, well, wait a minute, this is not an ordinary human being here. There's something phenomenal. There's something extraordinary happening here, and I probably ought to listen to this person. So guess what? The second mile, they'll probably listen to anything that you have to say. And John Maxwell says that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And the way you get influence is by adding value to other people. Zig says you can have everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. And so when that soldier sees that, wow, this person is willing to carry my gear another mile, one, I don't have to look for somebody else, so that's helping me, and this is an unusual human being that I want to learn from, so that gives you influence. But the way that it helps you is you, when you're satisfied, when you're encouraged, when you know that you're making a difference, that you're being used by God, and that you are making a difference, then you get inspired. And you have more joy in your life. The reason that people are so unhappy today, now I'm so blessed to live in the United States of America, and I know that you all in Canada have wonderful freedom there, and there are many countries around the globe that are very blessed. And living here in America, how can you not have a phenomenal life? Why are we so overcome and unhappy and messed up? Well, it's because of one reason, and that is selfishness. We're selfish. We care only about ourselves. So when you become, when you begin to help other people, when you begin to think about making a difference in the lives of others, and you understand that you can be that person that you want to be, when you do understand that your mind controls your life, so whatever controls your mind controls your life, that you can be blessed, you can have a phenomenal life. And so that's my philosophy. That's what a phenomenal life is. It doesn't mean that you don't have problems. It doesn't mean that you don't have difficulties. It means that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the challenges, you can overcome. And the beauty is, chances are, you're going to be successful in all these different areas. And that's what I get into in the book, Seven Secrets of a Phenomenal Life, is I talk about those seven areas. I talk about money. I talk about spirituality. I talk about family. I talk about physical health. I talk about career. I talk about your own personal life, and I outline five steps to go from idea, awareness, to habit. And in fact, one of my chapters is kind of built off of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It's called Think and Grow Phenomenally Successful. And I get into some of the things that that impact your mind, and some of the ways, some of the strategies to begin to change your mind. And Napoleon Hill's work has been very impactful in my own life as well.
And you hit on some great points that I totally love. As you can imagine, if I answer amazing to every single person, even the day after surgeries, in hospital, rough times when people know I'm in extreme pain, people are going to ask you, why? So I tell them 80% of the time it's true. The other 20% of the time it's to remind myself that it's true. And I tell people, just being born in Canada, same as in the U.S., is a global blessing. 30 to 40% of the world live on less than $2 a day, and they're no nicer, more kind, more generous than you or I. And so just being born in North America is a global blessing that we don't even deserve so much for who we are. It's just the grace of God that allowed us to do that. And so I am known for not complaining very much at all. And I tell people the reason that is that I imagine myself voicing that complaint to someone in a third world country, And some of the things we complain about in North America, if we told them about it, they might not think very highly of us, I would think.
Right, and that's the thing is that Zig says your altitude is determined by your attitude, that that of all the attitudes that one can acquire, and we can acquire a lot of attitudes, you know, a lot of attitudes. And but he says that the above all else, the most important attitude and the most life-changing attitude out of all the attitudes that one can acquire is by far the attitude of gratitude. Because the attitude of gratitude changes everything. It changes everything. It changes how I think. It changes how I believe. And when I begin to think different, I begin to believe different. When I begin to believe different, I begin to act different. When I begin to act different, I begin to accomplish more things. And when I begin to accomplish more things, then the natural result is that more things come to me. And so we're back to that be, do, and have. If I believe, if I have an attitude of gratitude and I believe that I can do something, then I'm going to take that action. If I'm discouraged and I don't think that there's any way out, there's no hope, then I'm not going to take action toward whatever that goal might be because I don't believe that I can be there. And the fact is that if we'll just believe, then that will help us to take the steps that we need to take. And when you take the step, then the fact is that then you'll get the blessings back.
Exactly. Now, Howard, I imagine, like me, that you probably believe that everyone can have a phenomenal life, but it's been my experience, not everybody is interested in a phenomenal life. There are people that are going to spend most of their time or much of their time watching TV, going through life, come home after work. They're not as passionately interested in the success principles we talk about. And maybe to my fault, I tend to try and spend my energy and time with the people who are interested in creating a phenomenal life that just need a little hand up or some ideas or tips or suggestions or a mastermind partner. Do you also believe everyone is capable of having a phenomenal life? And what about the people I come across where they are capable, but it would be hard to convince them of that and they're not passionately interested in it?
Yeah, the fact is that I do believe that everyone can be great. Otherwise, we would not be created. God don't make no junk, as Zig Ziglar says. And so every human being has the capacity. Now, in the fallen world that we live in, are there folks who are mentally challenged and that sort of thing? Yes. And putting that aside and putting aside clinical psychological issues and things of that nature, yes, I believe that anyone with a sound mind can be phenomenally successful. But as Zig says in his latest book, Born to Win, he says that all people can be great, but not all people choose to be great. And even if people wanted to be great, they're not just not willing to do the work that's required. And my experience has been that if people really, truly knew the blessings that await them by doing the hard work, by practicing all these things that we're talking about, by loving others, by being willing to learn and to put new things into our minds and to choose to be involved in things that are building us up instead of passive entertainment. If they knew that the reward what the reward could be, I think that they would be more willing to make the investment. But the challenge is, as you know, you don't know what the reward is going to be. You don't know what the return is going to be until you make the investment. It's like the late Jim Rohn said, you can't say to a fireplace, give me some heat and then I'll build a fire. You've got to build that fire. You don't know how good that wood's going to be. You don't know what kind of fire you're going to have yet, but you've got to take the steps and then let the results come. Don't worry about results. Be focused on making the investment and just know and have faith that when you make that investment, it's going to come back to you. And speaking of Zig's quote, you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. I told him, in fact, the first time I ever interviewed him on video, I did a video interview because it was going to be several months before he could actually come and speak on my stage, and I had a conference coming up. So I said, let's do a video, and that way I can show the video at the conference and we can get him excited about the next conference where you'll be speaking. And I told him, I said, you know, I tell people that you stole that your quote, your favorite quote, you can have everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. I tell people that you stole that from Jesus. And, of course, Tom was looking at me kind of funny, and we didn't know each other that well yet. And because Jesus said, give, and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, mm-hmm. and running over. And Zig didn't miss a lick. He just reared back and said, he said, well, I think that'll be okay because I know him personally.
Exactly, exactly. And
yeah,
Zig knows
yeah.
him extremely well. And
yes,
one of the things I always admired about Zig is that a lot of speakers tend to hide their faith when they're on stage, thinking this is not part of what I'm teaching. Zig does not hide that at all. He will tell you numerous times about his faith, and I really love that. Now, Howard, I worked for a management consultant for 4 years, and all of their work is working with companies on people, processes, systems, and behaviors. And, of course, a lot of it is on the cost side of a business, eliminating costs. But you help small businesses with the same kind of things. And now people who think of a big business can think, oh, yeah, they have all kinds of way to cut costs and get rid of, you know, people who aren't doing their job and improve on this. But a lot of small businesses don't think that these systems and processes are for them. And if they do, they think of it often on the cost side, not so much on revenue generation. However, you can implement processes and systems for small businesses on both the cost and the revenue generation side. So tell us some of the ideas behind that, because this is what you're teaching small businesses.
Absolutely. Well, in Zig Ziglar's Born to Win book, I had the pleasure of helping Tom with the last chapter of the book, which is called Born to Win for Business Leaders. And I'm quoted in that chapter, and my quote is, I believe this is the greatest secret of a phenomenal business. This is the number one thing that's the greatest lesson that I've ever learned, and that is that small business owners need to understand that their business exists for one reason and one reason only, and that is to help you achieve your life goals. It's a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. And so if you think about your automobile, your vehicle, you know, you maintain the oil, you put gas in it, and you can't expect that vehicle to take you the places that you want to go reliably if the systems aren't working, if it's broken, if the tires are flat, if there's no steering wheel, if there's no gasoline in it, if the all the working parts aren't put together right. And so you've got to, and we identified five areas of a phenomenal business. First is marketing. That's everything that you do to attract prospects to your business or to woo repeat customers back. Sales is everything that you do to convert that prospect into paying customer. Operations is everything that you do to serve that client. Administration is everything that you do to track the numbers and your internal office processes and those kinds of things. And then finally is leadership. And so you have to have a phenomenal system in all of those areas to have a phenomenal business. So it starts with, how much money do I need? When you look at that wheel of life, how much money do I need personally? Well, I've got to understand my cost of doing business and how much revenue I need to do to generate that net amount. So therefore, I'll now have a sales goal. And one of the biggest challenges with small business owners, they don't know how to market. You know, one of the things that I say is that healthy profits cure all other business evils. And, you know, outside of maybe labor and a massive paid advertising, many small business owners, they are not overspending on things. They're just not generating enough revenue. And when they generate enough revenue, they're doing the work, all the work themselves, or trying to do it all themselves, and then they get busy and they stop marketing. So this endless cycle continues. I'm busy, not busy, busy, not busy. They're not planning their business in advance and creating these consistent marketing systems and then replacing themselves at the base level of actually providing the service and replacing themselves in the $10 an hour work. And so they just stay in that endless cycle. So the first thing that has to happen is we've got to have enough revenue coming in to make a profit. And I think that that's the place to start. Many times, you know, if we're overspending, if we're grossly overspending, then, you know, let's take a look at that. But in most cases, they're just not generating enough sales because most small business owners know their technical work, but they don't know how to market their business.
Exactly. And these systems allow you, first of all, as you said, a great point there is that management consultants will go in and they work backwards. Tell us the profit number you want to have or need to have this year, then they work backwards. Okay, that's X number of units you need to produce at X cost and X revenue. And so you work backwards, as you said, figure out the income you want to have, work backwards from there on your plan to put those systems in place. And when you have those systems, they allow you to measure every day, sometimes even every hour, if you are in the red zone or off target on that system, so that you don't get 3 months down the road and say, oh, darn, I didn't know we weren't going to make a profit. You can tell or predict your P&L statement 3 months from now when you have the proper systems in place that you can measure on a daily basis. And that is a good way of being able to recognize and change things before you get to the point of your P&L statement being done at the end of a quarter.
Absolutely, and that's just the area that most small business owners don't even want to know about. And then, you know, their sister-in-law or somebody's handling the books, and they're going to be offended if we try to create some systems, like they're not doing a good job. And so all this stuff is all wrapped up into one unfortunate little package. But if business owners would understand that by understanding these systems, taking the time to learn these systems, and even if you outsource it and get someone else involved, that they could then begin to reach their dreams and goals in life. So we've just forgotten about our dreams. We're just busy working in the business, putting out fires all day, keep it alive. You know, it's okay. And we even live in a little bit of denial. You know, it's not so bad. I mean, I got this perk, I got that perk. Yeah, but, you know, the fact is you could work half the hours with a job probably and have those perks, you know. It could be so much better. And we don't get that until we get that. I call it inspiration to implementation. Until we really get inspired and we see the vision, we see what's possible, we're not going to take massive action. We're not going to implement. And the number one reason that small businesses don't grow or do as well as they could is what I call FTI, failure to implement. Now, the reason that they don't implement is because they don't see the juice being worth the squeeze. And I was one of those people, I didn't want to know anything about my financials. I'm just not wired that way, but I put my foot down. I said, we're going to have strong financials. I'm going to read these financials until I go snowblind. And I hired consultants, and now I have a whole department of people that they do all that. I don't have to do that. I look at the reports on a regular basis, but I don't have to figure that out. We've developed systems for that that are easy for small business owners to, you know, get their arms around. But it is a lot of hard work to take your business to the next level. But I'm here to say that it's worth it, because you can live a phenomenal life when you have a phenomenal vehicle called a small business that's predictable, profitable, and turnkey.
Exactly. And now I'm a little bit astonished that you could use the word denial and not mention Zig's favorite line that it's not just a river in Egypt.
Well, I try not to copy him too much, because then they'll think I'm trying to be Zig, which I'm not.
Oh. Well, I've told people for years, well, if Zig ever gets a cold or he can't appear, I can do word for word Zig Ziglar. And I know that denial one. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. Now, Howard, one of the most, it's the number one success principle identified by Napoleon Hill, is definite chief aim, definite purpose. It is a hard thing for some people to figure out exactly their definite purpose. I got to mine finally by imagining I was sitting across the desk from Jesus and asking him, why and was I created, and then why do I have this arthritis? You know, 70% of people who get arthritis are women, so I was like, why wasn't it my sister? You know, she's a pain in the butt, so let her have it. And then, yeah, and I think he had a laugh out of that and said, well, just for that, you're keeping it. And and so, like 20-some years ago, if you told me I would be speaking about how I maintain a positive attitude while living with these really sometimes big challenges and all these surgeries, I would have been pretty upset, because I didn't like talking about my arthritis. If I'm with friends, I almost never talk about it. And I would have been, I thought I would be speaking because I'm the next Zig Ziglar, number three in sales out of an organization of 6,000, or, you know, the next Warren Buffett or something. And if you'd said 20 years ago when I first read Zig, no, you'll be encouraging people with your story about your arthritis and all your surgeries and the pain, I would have been like, forget it, I'm not doing that. So how did you hit on or find your definite purpose? Because you are obviously living your definite purpose. Did it take some time to identify that? And do you have any suggestions or ideas for people who just can't figure out what their chief aim or purpose is, or why God put them here?
You bet. It did take me a while. I think it takes most people a while. And I think where it started coming together for me was I read Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth. And this was 1997. I was a slave to my business. And I read The E-Myth, which Michael talks about working on the business instead of just in the business, building systems in your business. And I went back and I applied all those principles to my business and got it turnkey, and then began to, not exactly by mistake, but I just began helping other small business owners. I thought this would be neat to start a business where I can do seminars, and I think I've got something to offer. But it wasn't really until really recently that I really realized that this is a calling, it's a gift that I have, it's my purpose in life, it's my life work. And of course, I'm always open for that to change, and that, you know, can change. We get called to different posts in life, but A couple of things I would recommend people do, and you're exactly right. You've got to have a compelling, inspirational vision for your life and know what you want, as Napoleon Hill says. And in Born to Win, Zig says that we have a responsibility to learn what our purpose is. Until we learn that, let's just do what we know is right and be fulfilled in adding value to other people, doing the right thing always, and then pray. Pray that God will show you that. And some of the practical steps are to think about what you're passionate about. You see, and it may be that I may work over here, and I'm not really crazy about, you know, the work that I like the work that I do. It's okay. But my real passion is over here, and I have that job or I have that business because it helps me fulfill this passion that I have over here, whatever that might be. But as you imagine your perfect day, as you assemble a vision board and just think about your perfect day, how you'd really make a difference in the world, and get a mentor, get someone to help you to flesh that out. And when you find your passion, you'll find your potential. And it doesn't come overnight, but pray about it. Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask the people that are closest to you, hey, what am I good at? What do you see that I'm really passionate about? And that's where good mentors really come into to play. So that's what I'd recommend is to go through those steps to discover that vision.
And those are tremendous steps. One last thing, maybe before you close up, but one last topic. Over the years, I've been a Zig Ziglar fan since early 20s. I'm 49, so a lot of years, over 25 years, 27, 28 years. And over those years, I have spoken to Lori Majors a few times. I've exchanged emails with her a number of times. And anytime I communicate with her, she makes me feel like I'm the only customer that the Ziglar Corporation has. And she'll remember, even if it's like 5 years between times I email or call, she'll, oh, Tom Cunningham, it's so nice to hear from you. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And as you and I both know, Zig talks up Lori Majors a lot. What have you found about working with her and this lady that not so many people have met or know about, but is a lot of the reason behind the success of Zig Ziglar and the Ziglar Corporation?
I've found exactly what you just said, just a wonderful person. She's not only just kind, and I think it's a culture at the Ziglar organization to just make you feel like family, to make you feel like $1 million. And the wonderful thing is that they mean it. And what I love about the Ziglars is they're the same people backstage, as you saw, as they are on stage. And Lori is no different. She's a consummate professional, but at the same time, there's just so much heart that she just loves you and wants you to be successful. And she's exactly, as you described, exactly like that.
Now, Howard, I'm a big fan of books, so I'm in bookstores a lot. In every bookstore I go, your smiling face is looking out at me. Your book, 7 Steps to a Phenomenal Life, seems to be in every bookstore, at least in Canada. And where was I recently? I forget, maybe in the States somewhere. I was there as well, in an airport bookstore. So that is something people can get everywhere. In Canada, we have Chapter stores. In the U.S., you got Amazon's, and I'm sure it's at every single store. People need to get that book. Tell us a little bit maybe what you're doing as far as workshops in the coming weeks or months. Do you have any plans to come to Canada? If not, why not? And let's work on getting you to Toronto. But tell us some of the places you're going. I know I'm going to get tired just hearing of the travel schedule you got come on up, but maybe people in those cities would want to know when you're coming and what you're talking about, and how that they can find out about these dates and locations.
Well, you bet. Well, if you go to howardpartridge.com/born to win, you will see our Born to Win workshop schedule, and we've got Sarasota, Florida, Tampa, Florida coming up. We've got five cities in Australia. We've got Dallas coming up. We have a three-day conference in Dallas 2 weeks from now. This Saturday we have one in Houston. And next year we'll be all over the place. I'm sure we'll get to Canada eventually. And all we need really to go there is an audience of small business owners. So if you know a group that can bring a few small business owners together, Tom and I would be happy to come. Hopefully it'll be different than my last experience with Toronto. When I first started traveling, I didn't understand all the ins and outs, and this was many, many years ago. I went up there to speak, and I just put everything in my checked luggage, including my overnight kit and my jacket, by the way. It was warm in Houston. I arrived with a short sleeve shirt. The airlines lost my bag, and by the time I figured out that it wasn't going to arrive that night, it was midnight, and I'm driving around at 1 o'clock in the morning, 10 degrees below, in 10-degree weather in Toronto, looking for toiletries and something warm to wear.
There is a temperature difference for sure between Houston and Toronto in fall or winter. And I, because I work for the Canadian Business Journal, the only and official media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce, I can arrange to advertise your event like heck. I'm in Toronto. Half of the business world is in Toronto. So I'm going to be working with you and Tom and get you guys up here and share all those valuable tips and advice for small business owners. That's who a lot of the Chamber of Commerce members are. And we could use your wisdom up here as much as you're sharing it all over the world. If you can go to Australia, you got to come to Toronto. So let's work together on getting that done. Everybody, as I mentioned earlier, can find your smiling face in your book in every bookstore. And if you're not getting out to bookstores, just go to Amazon.com. In Canada, it's like chapters.com, I believe. They can order it online, and they better do that because that's an amazing book. Thanks so much for your time today, Howard. Speaking to anyone who works with Tom Ziegler and Zig Ziegler is always an honor and a privilege, and I really thank you for your time.
The honor and privilege is mine. Thank you so much.
Say hi to Tom and Lori, and we'll speak with you soon and get you up here in Toronto.
I'll do it.